Good morning, Glenmar family. Today's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we conclude our series on ordinary miracles, if anyone ever needed a miracle, it's our friend who was sitting at the gate. And this story happens after Jesus has been resurrected and has ascended into heaven. So there's no Jesus of Nazareth to show up in the flesh. There's no literal hem of Jesus's garment for people to reach out and touch. There's no Jesus to cook breakfast over a charcoal fire for the disciples on the beach. No Jesus to show the literal wounds on his hands and his side so people can say, "It's the Lord." Here we have followers of Jesus, our friends Peter and John, going up to the temple to pray. And we have a man in need of a miracle. The man is scanning the faceless crowd, looking for people who have that kind of way about them, maybe, looking without looking too closely. People streaming to the temple for prayer at the 3 o'clock hour. Out of the corner of his gaze, he sees Peter and John. He asks them for money like he does everyone. Just another couple faces in the crowd. Peter and John, meanwhile, are not just there on their own behalf. They are sold out disciples of Jesus Christ. They're covert agents for him, if you will. They've had the experience of Pentecost that we'll talk about next week. They're part of a new fledgling baby church, a movement that's described in just the chapter before this in Acts this way, from chapter 2, starting at verse 44. "All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Now, I grant you, there was a temple where they spent a lot of time. But the early church was not about a building. The book of Acts, if you look at it, is not centered on four walls and a mortgage. The early church was a collection of believers who shared sacrificially, lived lives of praise and service, and wherever they were gathered in Jesus' name, even two or three of them, church broke out. Where they were gathered, that was church in the people. The book of Acts is short for the Acts of the Apostles. But I think it would also appropriately be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the early church was a church in the world, in the neighborhood, a church on the move, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, constantly on the lookout for the ways that the Holy Spirit was moving, keeping up with it, if you will. And while there was no longer a physical person called Jesus of Nazareth who walked the dusty road in the flesh, his disciples, his followers, the Holy Spirit at work, they are on the loose. In a way, now the gospel is unleashed. And from the beginning, those followers were about sharing the life-giving message, the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, and they connect with this man at the gate. The one that no one notices or looks at. The one no one really interacts with. An unclean man under Jewish law. But Peter and John see him. They really connect. It says in the text, Peter looked intently at him, as did John. And they said, "Look at us." And the man fixed his attention on them. It's literal, but it's also a metaphor. It illustrates that often the first step in a life transformed is relationship, connection, to really be seen, even in the midst of ordinary life, to take the time to really see each other, to connect. Sean Danaher, our great youth minister for high schoolers in his Wednesday devotion, he talked about the way we ask one another, "How are you?" And often we don't really listen to the answer. And when we're asked by somebody else, we don't really share how we actually are. My responses are generally good, fine, and busy. But followers of Jesus see God's children, even and especially the ones who are easiest to overlook. I think one of the gifts of this season of COVID is I've been told by people that as annoying as Zoom can be, in a way, they can feel seen, really seen. They've shared that in some ways it's easier to be seen on Zoom than it is to be seen in a crowded gathering place full of voices and donuts. Our hospitality mantra at Glenmar is perhaps best summarized by three things. I see you, I know your name, and you matter. Peter and John see the man and they connect with him. They see his need. He matters to Jesus, so he matters to them. An ordinary miracle, if you will, of seeing and knowing and connecting and caring about. And then something amazing happens. He's expecting money. But Peter says they don't have silver or gold to give. Probably because of that holding everything in common business. But Peter says, I'll go you one better than that. Peter says, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. So what does Peter have to give? He has the good news of Jesus Christ that he himself has received. He has the gift of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation. And here, the sign act of that gift is healing. This is the part where I remind us that healing is not always the same thing as cure. Jesus always heals in some way. Cure is more limited, I think, than that. The ancient world also had a different view of what it meant to be sick or infirm or differently abled than we do now. So this man's healing, though real, is also a symbol, a metaphor for something even bigger than just one person's healing. This beggar at the gate is a symbol for everyone who is living life at some beautiful gate or other. Everyone who right now today is in need of healing, in need of restoration, in need of something that they can't quite name. So they try to fill that need with other things. Just like the beggar thought his biggest need was money, we tend to fill that hole with what we think we need. Food, alcohol, money, recognition, status. This story is for everyone who is right now feeling shut in or shut out or just over it, in need of an ordinary miracle with not nary a Jesus Christ of Nazareth in sight. In other words, it's for all of us. I know the novelty has worn off on this COVID thing. I know at first it felt fun and exciting, like when the power goes out and your mom lets you make a fort with flashlights and everything. And now you just want to get a haircut. I get it. Folks in our church have made well over 1,000 masks and have donated hundreds of pounds of food to the hungry. It's easy to get tired. But to quote the Apostle Paul, let us not grow weary in our well-doing, for we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The work we're doing is what faithfulness looks like in this season. It looks like lines of cars on Friday afternoon, giving masks and food and prayer shawls. It looks like our task force for regathering well, poring over guidelines from our bishop and our county and our state and medical professionals. It looks like our staff attending training after training on how to serve Christ and how to serve our people in this season. Caring calls and prayer shawls and daily morning prayer online. Pop-up food banks and online story time. It looks like Rooted via Zoom for our high schoolers. It looks like checking on the most vulnerable among us. And we do it because our church is not a building or a structure. Our church is followers of Jesus working together. The church is a people. People who have felt Christ's healing touch or have had some well-meaning person really see us and then reach out and take us by the hand. Next thing we knew, we were part of a church called Glenmar. That's what it means to be the church. The church is Christ's body on the move, and wherever we are, we come in Christ's name. Wherever we are and wherever you might find yourself, know that you are there as one who is sent. We are not there on our own, but as ambassadors for Christ. We see you. We want to know your name, and you matter. Jesus sends people out, commissions us to be the body of Christ, sends us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything Jesus taught his disciples, including all that business about loving God, loving your neighbor, loving one another as I have loved you. The body of Christ is about sharing Christ with others and helping everyone living ordinary life at the gate called Beautiful to receive a gift that's more than what they even thought they wanted, and it's all they'll ever need. this ordinary miracle is the church being the church. It's a pretty strange way for the good news of Christ to spread. Feels pretty ordinary. A gathering in a room with locked doors, a companion on the road to Emmaus, a fishing trip, a treasure hidden in a field. But that's how Jesus works. He's not restricted by four walls and a mortgage. Teresa of Avila said this about the church. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has nobody now on earth but yours. And it turns out, that's enough for my Jesus to work up a whole lot of ordinary miracles. Even, and maybe especially, in times like these.